Yes, that you, if you do not have your Bibles, turn to Matthew 22, that you turn them there. We'll be looking at least a verse in that reading in our lesson tonight. And as is has become my habit, I will have, I think, every passage on the screen behind us. Some will be some readings of several verses, and if you choose to turn in your Bibles to follow that way, certainly that would be good. It's good that we can be here. Encourage everyone to listen carefully as we study. We pray that what we have to say will be truth. That is our goal. And that it'll be helpful to us, and it will, if we will simply listen to the Word of God and put it into practice in our lives. In Jesus' day, there were two leading religious groups of Jews. One was the Sadducees and the other was the Pharisees. And of those two groups, the Pharisees would be the stricter of the two. The ones who were more sound doctrinally speaking. They believed in the resurrection of the dead, the immortality of souls, angels, and spirits. In Acts chapter 23, verse 8, the Bible says, "For Sadducees say that there is no resurrection and no angel or spirit, but the Pharisees confess both." And we learn then that the Sadducees, they did not believe in any of those things. As was read in Matthew chapter 22, verse 23, the same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him. But even though the Pharisees were stronger doctrinally, they had very grave errors in their life. And what I want to do tonight is to talk about one of those areas where they had a very grave problem. And some of the strongest denunciation that Jesus gave, that we have recorded in the Bible, was directed at the Pharisees. And I'm going to point out tonight, and Lord willing, maybe two or three Sunday nights in the future, these problems in an effort to help us to avoid those types of problems. The problem I'm going to be talking about tonight is the problem of legalism. And I have a definition here on the screen because I want us to be sure that we understand how I'm using that term. I got this from an old Funkin' Wagnalls dictionary. Some of you are encyclopedia. Some of you probably are familiar. But legalism is defined this way. In theology, legalism is the doctrine of salvation by works or strict adherence to a religious code rather than by grace. And so when we talk about someone who is a legalist, we're not talking about someone who has a strict attitude toward the Word of God. All along, you hear people scoff sometimes at those who have a strict attitude toward God's Word. And they'll say, well, those people are just pharisaical. Or those people, they're just being legalist. And really, that brings me to the first point that I want to make in the lesson tonight. And that is, Jesus never rebuked the Pharisees for being strict in their attitude toward God's Word. In fact, it was otherwise. In Matthew chapter 23, in verse 23, Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith." So here we see Jesus' attitude towards strictness. He did not rebuke the Pharisees for tithing these smallest of herbs. He rebuked them for their inconsistency. While they would tithe those small herbs, and Jesus said, that you should have done, but He says, you neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. And so when we're talking about legalism, We're not talking about strictness. The Pharisees were rebuked because they tried to be saved on the merit of their strictness, and they did not recognize their need for God's grace. And so here is a legalist. A legalist places before himself a code of conduct. He sets out to live strictly by that code, and he strives to be saved on the merit of his strict following of that code. That's what a legalist is. Now, one or two things will happen to a person who is a legalist. One thing is, he can persuade himself that he's being saved through his strict following of this code. And what results from that is this. You'll find someone who is very self-righteous. Someone who's looking down on those other poor weaklings. Or a second thing that can happen, and this is the more realistic and honest people, they'll recognize that they're not reaching that goal. That they can't hold to that strict adherence and get everything right all the time. And what the result of that is they become discouraged and they quit if they have this legalistic attitude. That's the first that describes the Pharisees. They set out to live by a code. They believed that they could be saved through keeping this code strictly. They were very self-righteous. And they would look down with contempt on others who were sinners. I want to turn to several passages in the Bible, and I want us just to see the attitude that the Bible gives us concerning the Pharisees. The first passage we're going to go to is Luke chapter 18. And again, you may turn in your Bible. I'll have the passages here on the screen. But we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 9. And what we're going to see is the attitude of these Pharisees. Beginning in verse 9. Also he, that is our Lord, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. As we look at that passage and what it says in describing this Pharisee, do you see his code consciousness? Verses 11 and 12, the Pharisee stands and he prays, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. In other words, look at me. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. You see within this Pharisee no regard or concern or need for God's grace. He doesn't ask for forgiveness. He doesn't see any need for the grace of God. Thirdly, you see that he despised others. Again, there in verse 11, he's thanking God that he's not like these other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even as this tax collector. Now that's legalism. as I'm using it tonight. Let's go to a second passage, this time to Luke chapter 15. Let me just read the first two verses of Luke chapter 15 to begin our thoughts. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." You see their attitude of contempt. Their contempt is toward Jesus. Well, here this man, he's not only receiving sinners, he's eating with them. And then the Bible talks about, in this chapter here, it talks about the lost coin. And then we have information concerning the lost sheep. And then we have information concerning the lost boy. When you come to verse 11, Jesus begins to tell the story of the man who had two sons. And without reading all of it, we know that the younger son, he wanted his inheritance. He asked for his inheritance. And the father gave him his inheritance. And the Bible tells us that he goes off and he wastes his inheritance. And he finds himself eating what the pigs eat. He is in the pig pen, about as low as you could go. Well, I want to pick up reading with verse 25. The son comes to himself, the younger son. He goes home. The father is waiting for him, looking for him. He runs, embraces him, puts the ring on his finger, the robe on his back. They kill the fatted calf. Verse 25 says, "Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, 'Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf.' But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you kill the fatted calf for him. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found.'" Do you see the attitude of the older brother? One of the things that he says is, "I've kept all the commandments." I doubt that was a true statement. But that's what he thought about himself. I've done everything that you've asked me. I've kept the commandments. We see his self-righteousness. "These many years I've been serving you, I never transgressed your commandment at any time." And then we see in this older brother the fact that he despised his younger brother. Did you notice there in verse 30, he doesn't even call him his brother. He says, "But as soon as this son of yours came," he's talking to his father, "who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you kill the fatted calf for him." Again, there's the attitude, one of legalism. I'm doing everything exactly right, and that gives me the right to look down on others who are sinners. Let's look at one other passage. This time, Luke chapter 7. In Luke chapter 7, I want to begin reading in verse 29. Luke chapter 7, beginning with verse 29. "And when all the people heard him, even the tax collectors justified God, having been baptized with the baptism of John. Verse 30 says, "But the Pharisees and lawyers rejected the will of God for themselves, not having been baptized of Him." Here we see that the tax collectors, it says they justified God. They had been baptized with the baptism of John, but not these Pharisees. Not these lawyers. They rejected the counsel of God. Now drop down to verse 36. "Then one of the Pharisees asked him to eat with him. And he went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask of fragrant oil and stood at his feet behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And she kissed his feet and anointed them with the fragrant oil. Now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.'" Every time I read that, what I think is this. He says, if the Lord really was who He says He is, He would know she is a sinner. What I think is, what did He think He was? He was holding Himself up as someone, I guess, who wasn't a sinner. And I understand that this woman, apparently her life was such that she was known to be a sinner. But He's looking down upon her. He's despising this woman. Look at verse 40. "And Jesus answered and said to him," this is the Pharisee, "Simon, I have something to say to you." So he said, "Teacher, say it." "There was a certain creditor who had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. And when they had nothing with which to repay, he freely forgave them both." As we're reading that, it is obvious. Let me finish that verse. Jesus then asked, "Tell me therefore, which of them will love him more?" Obviously, Jesus wants Simon the Pharisee to see himself as one who doesn't owe as much, but both have nothing to pay. Neither has anything to pay. Verse 43. "Simon answered and said, 'I suppose the one whom he forgave more.' And he said to him, 'You have rightly judged.' Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, 'Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman has not ceased to kiss my feet since the time I came in. You did not anoint my head with oil, but this woman has anointed my feet with fragrant oil. Therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little.' Then he said to her, 'Your sins are forgiven.'" Did we catch Simon's attitude? Simon's attitude is he despised this woman who was a sinner. Why is he eating with her? But the key expression in the passage is they had nothing with which to repay. And that helps us see the right attitude. The right attitude in our service to the Lord is this. God places before us a standard. That standard, His Word, is a standard of perfection. And He demands strict following of His Word. We could go to several passages which teach that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21 beginning, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to Me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father in heaven. Many will say to Me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in Your name, cast out demons in Your name, and done many wonders in Your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from Me, you who practice lawlessness.'" We must do the will of the Father. Or Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." Or in John chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus says, "You are My friends if you do whatever I command you." One other passage, 2 John verse 9, "Whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son." In fact, the person who obeys God's will be just as strict, just as careful in obeying everything that God says, but there's one big difference. And the difference is this. That person has a keen sense of his failures. He understands he sinned. He understands his human frailties. And he understands, regardless of how close he may be to that standard, he needs God's forgiveness because he has nothing to offer on his own to some way pay back. Does God expect us to strictly obey His will? He does. And again, some people scoff at the idea, well, you try to do everything that God says do. We better be trying to do that. We better be trying to do everything that God wants of us. But in doing that, we understand that without the mercy and the grace and the forgiveness of God, there is no way that we could be saved. And so as we try to follow God's will strictly, we come to Him humbly in prayer, asking, begging for the forgiveness of our sins. You know, one man looking down and despising another man is kind of like two men both drowning out in water. One is in 10 feet of water, the other's in 100 feet of water, and the one who's in 10 feet of water drowning, he is looking down and making fun or despising the man who's drowning in 100 feet. That doesn't make any sense, does it? Both are drowning. Both can't save themselves. They're both in the same situation. They're helpless. We are totally dependent upon God. And we are absolutely helpless in trying to save ourselves. And somehow thinking that we can live in such a way that we do not need God's forgiveness, that we do not need His mercy, that we do not need His grace. You know, that seems to be at least part of the idea of the Beatitudes. In Matthew chapter 5, beginning with verse 3, here's the attitude that we're to have. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." We understand we are spiritually destitute. "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And my understanding is here are people who are mourning over their sin. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We understand. We're spiritually destitute. We mourn over our sins. We have a meek, an attitude of humility. We are hungering and thirsting after righteousness. We are merciful because we understand we need mercy. And we're trying to live a life of purity. And all of that says we understand our need for God. Though we live strictly by God's standard, how conscious we should be of our unworthiness, of our dependence upon God. In each of those passages that we read, we had someone coming before God realizing his unworthiness. Who was it? In Luke chapter 18, who was it that came before God realizing his unworthiness? It was the publican. It wasn't the Pharisee. In Luke chapter 15, it was the younger son. It wasn't the older son. In Luke chapter 7, it was this woman who was a sinful woman who came before Jesus, recognizing her dependence on God. It wasn't Simon who was a Pharisee. Can't we see the difference? No matter how strict we live according to God's will, and that's what we have to strive to do, we cannot be saved by our own merit. It is only through the blood of Christ. Without question, there is a possibility of us falling. It is possible that we rely heavily on our strictness. After all, we attend the services of the church. We give liberally. We live by a strict moral code, and all of that is good. That is what God demands of us. But what I'm saying is it possible to rely on that and somehow fail to understand, recognize my need for God's forgiveness in my life? I think we've been taught to pray that God forgive us. But as we pray, do we pray with a consciousness of our spiritual indebtedness, mourning over our sins, hungering and thirsting after righteousness, being merciful to others, living a pure life? We must recognize that though we're going to live strictly by God's standards and not give in anything we do have our failures. We sin. And let's fall on our knees each day and humbly pray to God for forgiveness, with the understanding that without His mercy and without His grace, we would have absolutely no hope. And even if we've been doing that for 50 or 60 years, let's never allow it to become commonplace. Could we be legalistic in our approach, in our service to God? We could be. But it's not because we're trying to live strictly by God's will. It's because we in doing that may fail to understand that without the mercy and the forgiveness of God, we have absolutely no hope. And the Lord denounced the Pharisees because of that type of attitude. Let's open our books to the song, or if you're not going to use a book, it'll be put on the screen behind us. What we're going to see as we continue our study, Lord willing, is every Pharisee wasn't that way. We'll read about a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus. He wasn't that way. And I don't want to leave the impression that every Pharisee was that way. But generally speaking, that was the attitude that the Pharisees had. And we want to make sure that we avoid that attitude in our life. Are you a child of God? Have you come to Jesus to be